experience. He's a successful governor. I mean, he would add value to anybody's cabinet. So, I mean, I understand that piece.
Yeah, I could see Ben Carson as a Surgeon General. You know, certainly something he'd have some experience with.
You know, Carson in a room advising people is, I think, what his best thing is. Is, I mean, because he's got a very good way. I mean, he certainly doesn't have the charismatic personality you want to be your leader. But he's the kind of guy sometimes when on all the fire alarms are going off, you kind of look to it as a leader. Yep. I think he can add that to an administration as well.
I bet he'd be an interesting guy to, say, have dinner or maybe a couple of drinks and chat about anything. I think he'd be a very interesting guy in that sense. Certainly any of them would. You know, I think any of them would be interesting to spend some time with because, you know, there really aren't any bad people or any slouches and all of that. Although, you know, who was Jim Gilmore? I mean, I know who he is, but he's a guy that polled consistently less than 1%. But
He got less votes in the New Hampshire primary than a guy who walks around with a boot on his head.
Oh, well, you're talking about your friend Vermin Supreme.
Vermin Supreme, my good friend Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, but yes. He came in fourth in the Democratic primary in New Hampshire.
What? And he got more votes than Jim Gilmore.
I think he got almost 300 votes.
Yeah, he did. He did okay, I guess. Yeah.
Well, he's a guy. He goes around. He's got a pretty good full beard, and he wears a boot on his head, and he wants the government to give everybody a pony.
Interesting man. I mean, I had a very interesting conversation with him outside of Chris Christie's campaign office. Very interesting man. Hey, let's set the table because you might want to jump on the phones and get on the conversation. 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. Coming up after the break, we're going to be having a guest in studio who's running for the Mass GOP State Committee. Governor Charlie Baker has endorsed quite a few candidates who he'd like to see get reelected or elected to the Mass GOP State Committee. There are some people in the Republican Party in Massachusetts that don't like what Governor Baker has done. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to have Charles Grillo in the studio. He is running. He has not been endorsed by Governor Baker. And so he's going to be in here to talk a little bit about his campaign and how that is going. It's going to be an interesting conversation. So if you're out there and you're interested in the Mass GOP State Committee races and Governor Baker's take, get on the phones now, 508-871-7000. But your closing thoughts on South Carolina and Nevada?
South Carolina, I think, as expected, the Donald pulled it off. Rubio, I think, coming in second, although barely, it's almost a tie at 22.5% and 22.3% respectively for Rubio and Cruz. So, but it's good for Rubio. This gives him a new piece of energy to go forward because he'll start to get more endorsements. I think it gives him an opportunity to raise more money and stay in the race. So right now, I think on the Republican side, it's open. It's a three-man race. But I tell you what, the guy way in lead is called Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, Rubio is the GOP's establishment's Luke Skywalker. He's our only hope. I mean, it's just, you know, he's won nothing and come close to winning nothing, yet he's still, that's our guy. That's our guy.
But you know what can make the difference for him? Superdelegates, just like Hillary.
Exactly.
You know, because everybody thought Bernie Sanders won New Hampshire, but who has more delegates from New Hampshire? Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you and I've said since this all started that we thought Rubio would be the nominee at the end. Trump is gaining traction. I mean, you can't deny that. But I think it's going to really come down to Trump and Rubio. And be interesting to see if Donald can reach that finish line. I think he can, unfortunately. But
Yeah, the thing about it is people really, they need to get going because after March 15th, these all become winner-take-all races.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, the game changes.
Trump's going to win Massachusetts.
Actually, last poll I saw, Massachusetts liked Donald Trump 42%. That's huge.
That's a huge number. That's a huge number. I heard Trump talking this morning, one of the recaps about how, you know, as people drop out of the race, Jeb Bush's votes are going to go to who? They're not all going to go to Rubio.
No, they won't. But I think a lot of them certainly will go to Rubio.
Yes.
A couple might go to Kasich, and I think Kasich could pick up a little bit of Bush's votes. But, you know, those are called table scraps.
Right.
So what? So it's a point or two difference?
I mean,
it's not going to make the race.
It's 2 points, so that means Trump still won by double digits.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. All right, like I said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a guest in studio running for the Mass GOP State Committee. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830, 508-871-7000. It's 508-871-7000. So we were talking right before the break. We were talking about how Charlie Baker has endorsed candidates for the Mass GOP State Committee. A lot of them are friends of Terry's and I, to be very candidly. I think, you know, if Charlie Baker is going to endorse your campaign, it's a wonderful thing for your campaign. I could understand if he didn't endorse you, why you wouldn't be happy about that. But I think it's a good thing. What are your thoughts, Terry?
Well, it's absolutely good for Charlie to endorse anybody. He's the most popular governor in the United States. He's at the governor's conference, Republican governor's conference right now. And I think he was well received there from what I read this morning. So, yeah, and, you know, who doesn't like Charlie Baker? Well, the Carmen Union certainly doesn't, but that's only because he's cutting their overtime, or maybe not directly so, but making
well,
it happen.
Well, buckle your seatbelt, because I think there's somebody on the phone who might not. Good morning, Alex and Haverhill. How are you?
Doing all right, you know. Watching my man Trump just eviscerate the establishment. I'm hoping his voice come out and eviscerate Chuckles Baker's people. Very disgusting move by him to get involved. End result, whether he wins or he loses, you're going to have a divided party. And for a person who claims that he's on site, and I'm going to say this again, November 3rd, 29 elected Hispanics from state senator mayor. November 4th, 52 elected Hispanics. There are now more Hispanics elected across the state than there are Republicans in the legislature. I haven't heard a freaking plan yet. You know, his people, I don't know who they are. If I tripped over them drunk, I wouldn't know who they are, the people he's endorsing. All yes men and state employees who can't do anything. Very disgusting move on his part. Very disappointed. Nothing that's going to lead to more party disunity. That's, you know, that's one of the things I got to say. But, hey, you know, it's his coffin. He can go for it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Alex, I mean, and you and I have been friendly over the years, and we don't always agree on all the issues, and I don't think we agree on this one. I mean, Charlie Baker has to surround himself with, you know, people that he thinks can, you know, move his party forward. But I have to be fair, and I have to ask a question. How many non-Hispanic or Hispanic people running for Mass GOP has Governor Baker not endorsed?
Nobody. In the last 4 years, since he ran in 2010, there have been at least 8 Blacks and Hispanics and Asians that I've gone to their events. I have not seen Charlie Baker, Kirsten Hughes, anybody from the Mass GOP helping these people. Absolutely nothing. I don't think that's even going to happen. I mean, the guy does a TV ad that I made sure only had once on an edición. Well, the first thing out of a box, doesn't even have the dignity to get Hispanics in his ad, unlike the Democrats, say, I'm pro-choice. Yeah, my kid's sister's very far left, but she's pro-life. Thought it was disgusting. I mean, when you look at how Democrats do their ads, be it in print or media, they don't talk about abortion because, you know what, nothing more disgusting to a Hispanic than that issue. Very, you know, I come from a large family. I got 60 cousins on my mom's side and 70 on dad's. I love my family. Very disgusting that none of the so-called consultants we have any Hispanics. But yet I look at the W Square Group has a Hispanic arm. Has Latinos that I know, people that I know and grew up with, running that division. And here's an interesting factoid that I've heard from my friends, elected Hispanics. They are salivating that if Framingham becomes a city, to go down there and help the Brazilian Latino community to get a plurality of the seats if it becomes a city. I don't hear any Republicans saying, hey, let's go down there and let's train these people so if it becomes a city, we can get Latino or Brazilian city councils elected in Framingham if it becomes a city. Nobody talks the issue. You know, at this moment, never mind minority voters, just Hispanics themselves are going to outnumber the number of registered Republicans. Nobody has a plan. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, if Charlie wins this, I got better things to do during the fall. As people who follow me on Facebook, I have a beautiful niece. She models. She's 3 years old. I'm going to spend my time with her. Bleep the rest of the party, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Alex, it's interesting. You know, when John was running for state rep in the 7th Middlesex, 4 years ago, and we were campaigning in South Framingham there, and we met some very interesting folks in the Latin community. And believe it or not, they really they liked John a lot. In fact, a number of the sign placements were very nice. We met some very interesting and hardworking people that are conservative and not really pleased with the Democrats. Surprisingly, we were very pleasantly surprised at the reception in South Framingham and you know, a lot of Spanish-speaking and Brazilians live in South Framingham. And, John's going to be, he's running again, and we're going to be talking to a lot of folks in that area. Now, interestingly, there is the woman who runs the Brazilian radio station there in Framingham is considering a run for the seat. So, yep. But it's going to be some interesting dynamics, and I know that we're going to be doing some campaigning down in South Framingham. Why don't you come join us?
Oh, I'll come join you guys. But, you know, not that I want to make the whole thing about Hispanics. That's just a small microcosm of what I'm for. We got to grow this party. You know, and I don't see having state employees as members of the committee growing the party. I'm sorry. They're limited to the fact that they can't raise cash. And cash, as you know, that wins things.
Cash is king.
It's just, and I'm disgusted by a Democratic tactic that they're arm wrestling state employees or committee members. First of all, I mean, state employees shouldn't be on the committee first and foremost, but that's a change in state law. Hopefully we can work that out. Shouldn't be on the committee. You know, I mean, arm wrestling people, you know, wrestling people, threatening people with their jobs, that they don't support, you know, this person who just moved into the district to run for state committee. I mean, that is so low. And I think there's nothing more low than supporting a person who in October 2015 was a New York Yankee fan and a registered voter in the city of New York, is running for state committee against Steve Aylward, a person that has done wonders, who has actually run people. Guaranteed, they haven't won, but he's running people.
Yeah, I know. I know Steve.
Yeah, Steve's a good, you know.
Yeah, he worked pretty hard on a number of issues.
On the gas tax.
Yeah, and other things.
But
yeah.
Let's back up for the listening audience, because I think Alex is referencing an email that was referenced in the Boston Globe article that ran on Friday, saying that one of the state workers felt like, you know, the pressure was being applied to her to support a candidate that Governor Baker was doing. So just to put it into context. But Alex, you know, and I think you and I have, you know, become friendly over the years, because I think we agree that, you know, we have to grow our party. And yes, are there growing pains that are going on in the party? And I do agree with you. The outreach from MassGOP needs to be better. But I think even MassGOP would identify that. Terry and I were in MassGOP 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe more, yeah.
Yeah, about that, and they identify that. I'm not saying that they're perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're perfect. Yeah, but
they're, they're not coming talking to me. Meanwhile, I'm doing my appearances on PBS and Fox Latino, which I'm, you know, you follow me on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about this issue.
And I think that's great for the party, but I just don't think they're ready or able to do that yet, because I tell you, I'm a great candidate for Beacon Hill too, but you know they can't do a whole lot for me even right now. I mean, it's kind of sink or swim right now still for Republicans in Massachusetts. I don't like it, but it is the reality. I think Terry would agree with that.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, well if they never did the cabal that they did to try to get rid of Mark Fisher and run an honest convention, they wouldn't have to fork over $500,000 to Fisher and his lawyers. If they bothered just to run an honest convention, let the public decide. But no, they had to do dirty tricks. You know, they had to have me. I'm at my kid nephew's party with a bunch of Boston cops, you know, because that's who my brother-in-law works for. And I'm being told, hey, you know, we have you as a delegate to the convention the day that I'm at my nephew's party. I'm a family-centered person. I mean, I would have gone down to a Boston cops and shut that convention down simply because they used my name as a Baker delegate when I never once went to a caucus or anything like that. That's why I'm mad at the person. That's why I can't stand him personally, you know, to use my name like that. You know, I find it very disgusting what they're doing. I find it disgusting what the governor's doing. Am I being harsh? And, hey, I'm a mad person. And I've been telling the party since the age of 18, you got to reach out to Latinos. I had a good friend of mine, Democrat, mayor of one of the largest cities in the Commonwealth, tell me this. We have reached the point where you're not going to win a statewide primary without Hispanic support. Within a few years, we're going to reach the point you're not going to win an election statewide without Hispanic support. That day of reckoning is coming real soon. And November 3rd of 2015 proved that. I mean, how can a 22-year-old kid in my town, no job, living with mom and dad, had a master's paid on scholarship, win a city council seat, have access to $35,000 running for city council? Mm-hmm. You know why? Because the Democrats recruited him, they sold him, and he's on. My state senate district's gone because I had the two laziest state committee people who were openly antagonistic towards Hispanics. And it's a district, if you look at it on paper, Republicans doing, it's gone now because this kid's on the council and now he's organized. That's 52 different committees that Democrats have bought and paid for that can freelance their work for them. But nobody in the party's concerned. Nobody in the party's sitting down. Instead, I get insulted and all that. You know, good friend of mine, Frank Moran, state rep, our families came from this country together from the Dominican Republic. Our families come from the same part of the Dominican Republic. But I was asked to sit down and consult on the creation of legislative districts for minorities because of federal law, 1965 Voting Rights Act. Frank will tell you who created his district. He'll tell you straight out. I jokingly went to Frank and said, if I became a Democrat, you think you could get all the elected Hispanics in the state for you? He goes, I can get the New York Hispanics up here if you did a press conference.
Hey, Alex, hold on the line. It's the bottom of the hour. We got to get on top of the news with CBS News. You're listening to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. We're talking about the Mass GOP State Committee races. We're joined by Alex and Haverhill, still on the phone, and we should be having a guest coming in the studio in here just a minute or two. I just got a message that he's parking his car out front. But, Alex, let's pick up back up on that conversation because, you know, I appreciate everything that you do for the party and everything. But, you know, as my mother always used to say to me, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. What's your solution for fixing the problem?
My solution for fixing the problem is this is what I would do. I would actually go into these inner-city neighborhoods, not 4 months before the election. No, I'm talking, I would have done this last year, gone in, talked to these people, tell me, what is it you identify with, with these factors of the GOP? What is it that's wrong? I would have asked them, sat down and had to talk. I would have identified people. You know, I would have talked to Hispanic businessmen that I know who want to support the GOP but just don't see us backing up. I actually would support our candidates, whether they win or lose. I'd go in there. I'd also make it a point to show up on the radio shows of these people, of various Hispanics, you know, in Massachusetts, to show up on Univision and Telemundo and identify, look, I'm the chair now. We're going to make an effort. We're going to be an honest effort and have an honest dialogue to talk with the Latino community because many of the values you believe are the things that we support and endorse. You Republicans, you just don't know it yet. Point out the fact that this party that you're supporting, the Democrats, hand over fist, is not doing anything in your best interest. You've been voting 30 years for them and you're still poor. You're not going to advance. You're not going to move up the ranks to leadership under this party. That's what I would do. I'd be an honest conversation. I would also champion, as a Republican chair, I would also champion school choice.
Oh, sure.
Everybody
should. Yeah, I agree. Everybody should do that as well. You know, the motivation for the title of this program, All Politics is Local, is exactly what you're saying. Anybody who's going to grow their party The Democrats do it better than the Republicans. You've got to plant your seeds in your own backyard, in your community, and grow your party. I couldn't agree more. And it is frustrating that, you know, we haven't reached out to not just Hispanics, but all minority parties, because, you know, as Terry said, I thought, you know, one of the best experiences when I ran for state rep in the Framingham area is that the Latino community was like, oh, finally somebody's paying attention to us. Finally somebody, you know, because we're hardworking, conservative value type people, you know, God plays an important role in their everyday life as well, too. And thank you for coming, because we've never seen anybody before.
Yeah, and, you know, I did the same thing with Brian Hurt. We went and launched. People like, you know, I never met a Senate candidate. And people are literally saying this. I've been told to vote this and this way. You're the first Senate candidate I ever met. You know, Brian didn't do as well as I hoped. But this is the thing. Knock on people's doors. Don't have cameras. Come go to people's homes. Knock on the door and hear and talk to them. I mean, I took Mark Fisher. I asked Charlie Baker and Mark Fisher, you want to come with me on a Sunday to lunch after Mass and talk to people? Mark Fisher took me up on it, but Charlie Baker did. That's why Mark Fisher had a lot of guys that I knew who wore the uniform mm-hmm. of the Guard and Reserve supported Mark Fisher. They wanted nothing to do with Charlie Baker.
Now, when question for you, Alex. When Scott Brown was running for Senate for the full term, I don't recall him coming out into the Latin community very much. Now, maybe I missed that, but what do you think?
Oh, you're exactly 100% correct. You know, if you're gonna be a senator or a governor, it will behoove you that your staff and that your election staff look like the state you want to represent. It would behoove you. I mean, look, I invited then-Senator Brown to come to an event in Lawrence where you had 300 Latino businessmen, right? Oh, his staff was like, nah, it's not important. Day of the event, I see a black SUV pull up. I'm thinking, oh, Senator Brown's coming. No, it was Elizabeth Warren. Guess who steps out with her? My kid's sister.
Well, I hope you still didn't vote for her. But
No. My kid's sister made it a point. Made it a point to know that Elizabeth Warren, this was an event she had to go. Yeah. I'll give you another example of how Scott Brown blew it. Cousin of mine is a cop in one of the cities of this Commonwealth. Organized 100 Latino cops, sheriff's deputies, state troopers, whatever, to stand on the steps of the State House and do it to Scott Brown when he was running 2010. You think Scott Brown took us up on it?
No. We saw that kind of firsthand.
Yeah, we did see. The reason I ask is we saw a number of things that kind of scratched our heads over. I think we were invited to some bakery in Wellesley about 25 times,
mm-hmm.
but didn't see a lot of Scott Brown in Lowell and Lawrence and Fall River. And honestly, I think he could be our senator today if he had played his campaign a little differently.
If he would have done that. Hey, Ted A., executive producer of All Politics is Local. Keep Alex on the phone, but put up Gene in Framingham. Good morning, Gene. How are you? Gene, the dancing machine.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Alex. And, Alex, I heard you. I heard what you're saying, the corruption that's going on. I just applaud you, Alex, for saying the truth about what's happening. I was married to a cop in Framingham. We owned a house on Arlington Street, south side of Framingham. The greatest people were next to me. I had neighbors that were just phenomenal. And I just want to let you know that, Alex. So one of my niece's boyfriend's family, you couldn't get any better. Okay, they're on the next street. I just have to tell you that there is a voice for them. All of us are equal with God, Alex. I'm born again, Bible-believing, Jesus is Lord. And, Alex, one of my aunts kept calling my mother. How can you let her live there?
I think we lost Gene. Gene, if you're out.
We lost Gene. No, but Gene,
if you're out there, call back. Yeah.
Gene was out there. She's good because there are a lot of people, and I tell people this. When I'm on TV, you know, when I'm on TV across this country, this great country of ours, is that the sons and daughters and grandchildren of Reagan Democrats are marrying Latinos.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And when they hear some of the nonsense that went, you know, I had a good friend of mine, he's in his 70s, some married cousin of mine, came to me in tears and said, you know, I understand what you're going through, because when you look at your grandchild, when you look at your grandchild and you hear the nonsense, and you look at your daughter-in-law's family, and you look at them, you see special forces operators, New York City cops, Boston cops, you know, you look at lawyers, and you look at them, you're like, why do people talk this way? My family, damn it, should be Republicans, but not because of the treatment I get from my party and other Latinos get.
Amen.
Gene's back.
They have nothing. And the party is going to rule the day. Rule the day. We still have time. Hey. It's going to be with Charlie Baker and Kirsten Hughes.
All right. Hey, Alex and Gene, say good morning and welcome to our guest who has arrived. He's live in studio. He's running for the Massachusetts Republican State Committee, Charles Grillo. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, John.
Now, Charles, have you been endorsed by Charlie Baker?
No, I have not.
Pull that microphone a little bit closer to your face there so the audience can hear you a little bit. But, yeah.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Do you know Alex Varis? He's on the phone with us now, and we're joined by one of our listeners, Gene in Framingham, as well. So say good morning to them.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
All right, Charlie. We've met quite a few times at different events.
Excellent. Well, that means I'm getting around.
I think the last event I was with Charles, I had to give him some money for the young Republicans.
Thank you so much for that.
I give him a quarter. That's about it.
It all adds up.
I give him $40.
Now, Charles, are you a constable in Framingham as well?
No, I am a constable for Newton and Boston at this time.
Okay. And Natick, too, or no?
No, I left Natick.
Oh, okay.
So I resigned my position over there.
Hey, Gene, anything else real quick? Thanks for calling in this morning.
Well, first of all, did I press the wrong button? Because I sometimes do that. Big mouth, big hands. You get the picture. Charles Grillo, thank you for grilling people, by the way, and thank you for taking a stand. Alex is absolutely wonderful. I heard different pieces. I've been doing things here, and I said I had to call just to commend him for his heart for what's going on. I explained, Charles, that I lived on the south side of town in Framingham. Spanish people, wonderful people, greatest neighbors. Not all of them Spanish, though. But the Spanish ones are just wonderful, hardworking people. I just loved it. One of my aunts, Charles, called my mother all the time. How can you let her live there? I was in heaven. So I just want you to know, Alex, we're all equal with God. We all have a right to be out there and be represented. That's the Constitution. Charles, if you're really doing that, because you mentioned Scott Brown and what he didn't do after he said he was going to do it, thank you, guys. You're the best. Keep up the great work, and thank you for letting me call back.
Hey, thanks, Gene. Enjoy the good weather here on this Sunday, and thanks for calling in. So, Alex, we just got about another minute before we got to go to our break. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I mean, I thank Gene for the kind words she's saying. There are a lot of people, I travel across this great state of ours, that are saying the same thing. But you're not hearing the establishment say it, because they're like Captain Ahab. They're looking for the almighty white whale, you know.
Hey, there isn't one. It's hard work and it's perseverance. There is no white whale. I mean,
the Red Sox didn't win World Series until they started going after Pedro Martinez and my man there, Big Poppy.
David Ortiz into his final season.
Yeah. Yeah, who doesn't like Poppy? Big
Everybody.
Poppy. He's a class act.
You know, we either end this together or not. I think that we're placing the chair, maybe having people like Charlie win and saying to ourselves, you know, folks, we got to go out there and talk. Because I could take that same Latino from Framingham, Lawrence, or whatever, put him in Florida, and he votes Republican. You have 6 Puerto Ricans, the first wave of non-Cuban Hispanics getting elected. 4 of them are Republican. So why is it, you know, explain that to me. And, you know.
Well, we got to go to break, Alex. We got to go to break. I appreciate you taking the time to call in this morning, and I agree with you. We got to work together to make this a better party and a better state. Right. So thanks for taking the time, Alex. Good to talk to you.
No problem.
Alex, have a great Sunday.
You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN. We'll be back, and we'll be talking with Charles Grillo when we return. You're listening to WCRN 830, All Politics is Local.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
10:48 on a Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. That distinguished man sitting right in front of me, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and we're joined in studio. Very nice of him to give up his Sunday morning to come in and speak about his candidacy for the Mass GOP. Charles Grillo, good to have you, Charles. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, John. Terry, thank you for having me here.
Good morning.
So Charles is running against Peter Lorenz and Tom Mountain in, what is it? It is the 1st Middlesex and Norfolk District of Newton, Brookline, and Wellesley for the Mass State Committee, which the election will be same day as the Super Tuesday primary on Tuesday, March 1st. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, I've been involved in the process for over 25 years, and I was part of Mitt Romney's campaign back in 2002, which was probably the most exciting campaign that I ever was involved. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the state of Massachusetts was $3 billion in debt, and Governor Romney, when he came into office, he actually turned around and left office with a $550 million surplus, and I was very happy to see that happen. And also, I was involved with United States Senator Scott Brown, because at the time, Obamacare was about to, you know, come to light, and Scott Brown was going to be that vote to stop it. So he wanted to make it very clear that it wasn't the Kennedy seat, it was the people's seat. Mm-hmm. So I am taking that on as saying that the state committee seat should be the people's seat as well. It should not be a special interest seat. It should not be the establishment seat. It should be the people's seat, so people can actually have a voice within this committee.
Well, the reality, though, is that most voters out there are clueless about the state committee, whether it's the Democratic or the Republican state committees. They just they have no idea what the committee does. They many times don't know who the people are because they're not public faces in many cases. They're not people that they see in their local town meetings and things very often. I mean, they're there, but they're not as politicians generally. So, you know, tell us about the state committee a little bit from your view.
Well, as you know, there's 40 sitting senators in Massachusetts, and each of the senators is assigned to a senatorial district. So each of the districts for the Republicans and Democrats can organize their own parties. So you can elect one male, one female for each of the districts, which would add up to 80 voting members of the state committee. Within the state committee itself, once they get elected March 1st, they'll caucus together, and then they'll either reaffirm who the chairperson is or elect a new chairperson. Once the once that happens, now you actually have the governing body of the Massachusetts Republican Party. Within that, you create platforms, you come up with the agenda, you work with local and town officials, and like you said, educate the people on what the state committee and what the party is all about. And the only time people find out about the party is when there's an article in the newspaper. So my attitude is I am out every single day in the district talking to people, educating them about the process, and if there's any misinformation out there, I show them where to find the facts. I want to bring these people to the table so they can show up more at the Brookline RTC, the Wellesley RTC, and the Newton RTC to get them involved. I want to let them know that they are indeed part of the process, and I want to grow those numbers, and that's why I want to be part of the state committee.
Okay.
Where's your home? Where do you live?
I live in Newton off of Washington Street.
Terry and I were kind of joking earlier, knowing that you were coming on. Talk to me a little about the Newton Republican Town Committee. What's their base, and you know how many members do they have? And probably don't think there's too many Republicans in Newton, but maybe there are.
You'd be surprised. My opponent, Tom Mountain, has done a fantastic job. He is the head of the Newton Republican City Committee. He's been unanimously elected 4 years in a row. He was actually responsible of gaining 12,000 votes for Governor Baker in 2014. Mm-hmm. And as we know, Governor Baker won by a mere 41,000 votes in Massachusetts. So if anyone should have got the governor's endorsement, it should have been Tom Mountain.
Well, you've got a pretty impressive resume. Let's go down through it. I mean, I had the pleasure of meeting you at one of my Rotary meetings about a year or so ago. It was nice that you came and spoke at one of my Rotary meetings. You're a graduate of Brookline High School, 1994. You transferred into the Army National Guard in 1997 and were deployed for Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003. So thank you for your service there. And you're a constable in Newton, appointed by a friend of Terry's and I's. Seti Warren, the mayor of Newton, good guy. And you're a real estate salesperson for Lyric Properties in Andover, Massachusetts. So you're, and you're a constable. So you're a busy guy.
Well, as a matter of fact, Lieutenant Governor Pulido was actually at the city of Newton with Mayor Cedi Warren mm-hmm. last Thursday to sign the municipal pact with the mayor. And my friend Paul McMurtry was there, and also Senator Michael Rush was there. So I appreciate how the governor is being the governor and the administration and Lieutenant Governor Pulido are being bipartisan about reaching out to these cities and towns mm-hmm. to give them the resources and the tools they need to be very successful. As a matter of fact, I was present when Governor Baker swore in the mayor of Melrose last month, and the governor had a great speech about how he's reaching across the aisle to build these relationships with the Democrats and also the local town officials to make Massachusetts even greater. I respect 100% what Governor Baker and Karen Pulido are doing on bringing jobs to Massachusetts, and that's one of my number one priorities, to groom candidates to assist the governor, lieutenant governor, to increase their exposure and their opportunity to bring jobs to Massachusetts. I think it's phenomenal that General Electric is going to be a resident of Massachusetts.
Well, not only that, but they're bringing 800 jobs to Massachusetts, and a lot of those are executive jobs. And some of those people are going to want to live in Newton, and in fact, in your district, in Brookline and Newton, because they're pretty nice communities, and they're people that make good money. And they want to live in a nice place that's close enough for them to commute to work. I don't know if they want to commute on the MBTA, but it's getting better, but it's got a ways to go.
If it's running on time, it's a good thing.
Or running, yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Charles, I'm looking at your resume, and like I said, a very impressive resume. You are a town captain for this gentleman known as Donald J. Trump. You must be happy with the results last night in South Carolina.
Well, the people in South Carolina basically had a strong message. You can't buy their vote, you can't pander to their vote, and you can't lie to these people. And obviously it's clear that, you know, either you like Mr. Trump or you don't like him, at least you know what you're going to get with Mr. Trump. I mean, the reason why I'm supporting Mr. Trump is he's the only candidate in the race right now that has created jobs, that has an opportunity to bring the jobs back into the United States of America, bring them back from overseas. Because if we can bring these jobs back into the United States, then obviously we have a jobs governor, Governor Baker. We can maybe bring some of these jobs to Massachusetts.
So you said before we came back on the air that you weren't happy with the piece in the Globe and that Charlie Baker is endorsing candidates. But respectfully, I think you see the efforts that Governor Baker is doing to move the state forward and making Massachusetts a great place and a better place for everybody.
Absolutely.
I appreciate what Governor Baker is trying to do in a very Democratic state. Governor Baker realizes that, hey, management is going to solve problems. You're going to have to make some unpopular stands. You know, is Governor Baker as conservative as I am? I don't think he is, no. But I think he's doing a good job for the state of Massachusetts. I mean, what do you think?
I agree 100%.
Okay.
When I first campaigned for Governor Baker in 2010, I basically said that, I mean, I listened to his speech. He was at Faneuil Hall. It was a packed crowd. He basically said that he wanted to put a stake in the ground so his kids and grandkids can go to the finest colleges in the world, which are here in Massachusetts, and obviously obtain a job here in Massachusetts. Why is it that when they graduate from school, they have all this college debt, and then they have to leave the state to find another job in order to pay down their student loans? It's ridiculous. Massachusetts has a lot of infrastructure here. I was actually campaigning with Dean Tran up in Fitchburg and Lunenburg yesterday, and after I get off this interview, I'm heading back out to work with State Representative candidate Dean Tran to go help explain to the people and the voters out there that we want to bring jobs back to Massachusetts. There's a lot of lot space out there for these companies to come to Massachusetts and build. I know UMass is buying some properties over there right now. There's opportunity. So it's not like we don't have any space for these new jobs.
Well, we not only have space, but we have other infrastructure things. And mostly important, we have a talented workforce. Although there are some concerns about the workforce in America, people like me are retiring, and a lot of expertise is going away. And companies are having a challenge to hire the right people, with skills. And but there's some great schools, like you say, MIT. You know, you're going to get a better engineer anywhere else. Not too many. You've got Harvard. You've got, my alma mater, Northeastern, graduates a lot of good people, job ready. My other alma mater, Babson College over in Wellesley, I advise anybody to check out Babson College, because you come out of there, you're job ready. And you're ready to go out and get a good job and make some money.
Absolutely.
And pay back the huge debt you probably incurred by going to Babson.
All right, Charles, give the listening audience of New England here on WCRN 830 your 30-minute elevator speech on why you should be elected to State Committee on Tuesday, March 1st.
Actually, please make that a 30-second elevator speech.
That's what I said.
No, 30-minute.
Oh, 30-second. Yeah, that's all we've got, so give it. Go.
I'll make it a 25-second speech, right. And it's not going to be a canned speech by any means. This is about the people of Massachusetts. I grew up in Brookline. The senatorial district for the state committee is Brookline, Wellesley, and Newton. And I grew up in Brookline in 1994, like you said. I strongly believe in a fair and open, transparent process. I want people to be able to call me anytime, and so I can meet them in 15 minutes to have a coffee to discuss the issues, so I can bring it before the state committee and say, this is what the people want, and this is how they vote, and this is the best interest, which I feel that's going to help grow Massachusetts. I want to support the governor and the lieutenant governor, as I've always have, to make sure that what their message is getting put out to the people of Massachusetts, because it's great to have Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm on there all the time, as John would understand, and as
you
know. So I'm here. I want to be their voice to let people know.
Okay, great. He's Charles Grillo. He's running for Massachusetts State Committee on Tuesday, March 1st. Charles, you're welcome to stay with us, but we've got another guest coming up, Sheriff Thomas Hodgkins, the Bristol County Sheriff. He'll be joining us in the next half hour. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN.